My next question is for Beth. Beth, we spoke in the pregame a little bit about how bioterrorism is different than a pandemic, or I should say a natural pandemic. Another thing that I think I've learned a little bit is the global nature of the spread. Do you feel like bioterrorism is more going to be done by a terrorist organization or by a nation state? Because any nation state that unleashes a global pandemic, it'll come back and bite them just as badly as if it was on their own country initially.
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's a relatively active debate about how much harm, a bioterrorist, a terrorist organization could cause using a biological agent, and then also a debate about whether a state would use biology as a weapon, an infectious disease specifically as a weapon, because it could come back and harm them. And I think on the former, on bioterrorism, what I would say is that a lot of terrorist groups have different goals, and some of them have apocalyptic goals and aren't really particularly worried about wiping themselves out. We've also seen that terrorist groups are opportunistic, and we don't know what kind of expertise they'd be able to recruit. Kind of infamously, Al-Qaeda advertised online for people with molecular biological experience. So I think we can't rule out a situation where a bioterrorist in the future might have access to smart people, or might have more organized capabilities to create pathogens, to use DNA synthesis technology to make something that could cause a pandemic. I think with respect to nation states, we have to look at what the motivations would be and what kind of weapons they might be interested in. I do worry a lot about the scenario where a state might be thinking about what it could use biology for, and then experiment in a way that was risky that could cause an accidental release. And I think right now is a time when speaking about those issues feeds into the conspiracy theories and the speculation about China, but nonetheless, it is an area of work in the international community that we need to strengthen, and we really do need a way to investigate the origin of a virus in a depoliticized way in the middle of a crisis, and we don't have one, and I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing the food fight between the United States and China about this right now.
Maybe just to expand on that, we had Sarah Wecht on last week, and he felt that it was probably more likely coming from those wet markets in Wuhan. But is there a way to know in real time, like what, first of all, is it disprovable one way or the other? And if not, how will our military or our intelligence services or the president be able to evaluate that question? Is it space temperature, or is it natural phenomena?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I think I promise I'll answer it, but very quickly I'll just say that there are a couple of existing ways to investigate the origin of a virus. One of them is the public health investigation, which WHO does and which has been done in the case of COVID-19, and it's focused on finding what is the viral origin, and scientific research then following to figure out which animals is coming from, if it's a zoonotic disease or where is patient zero. Then you also have a UN mechanism for if there's a state that thinks that a biological weapon has been deployed, you can actually call for the UN Secretary General's mechanism for the alleged use of biological chemical weapons to be deployed and actually have an investigation, happen after that. And in between, in that sort of murky phase where it doesn't look like it was a weapon, but it also, no one can figure out exactly where it came from, there's no sort of way to bring together the international scientific community officially to answer those questions in a way that is non-accusatory. And I actually think that we do need a mechanism like that, probably out of the UN, and something that could be built when we're in a less sort of hot political environment. Is there a way to tell in real time? Once the sequence is published, you can, I won't say easy because it's not easy, but in this case, you can look at it and see that it doesn't have any signatures of genetic engineering. It doesn't look like it was created from scratch using other pieces of DNA to stitch it together. And the mutations that cause the spike protein to do what it does in COVID-19 weren't predictable. They weren't predicted in the literature to cause this kind of effect. And so researchers are therefore saying that it's unlikely that someone would have created them with this intent. They wouldn't have been able to predict that this would have happened. For an accidental release, it's a little harder to rule it out because it's hard to tell. But the researchers who published in Nature have looked at the types of mutations you get from growing coronaviruses in the laboratory, and they don't think, or at least they've said, these do not seem consistent with those. But in real time, it's very difficult, and you really need a group of the best experts in the world to come together to talk about it. That's certainly happening, but it's not happening in an organized way, at least as far as I know.
Thank you.